Blog Talk Radio.
Merciful, and your love endures.
Yeah.
through all things, for that I am eternally faithful.
Since my date of birth, bought you nothing but hurt. Play those video games, stole chains from your purse. Sat on a cold court bench till I was arraigned in your skirt. Saw the pain in your face, still you maintain the smirk. All you did was motivate, don't let them hold you back. What I do, I turned around and I sold you crack. I was a bastard for that, still I'm drowning in shame. Just remember one thing now, you're not to blame. You was newly separated, trying to escape your world. And through my thirst, I didn't help you, I just made things worse. I hated me and everybody that created crack. Had me thinking the newest kicks and the latest gag. Still haven't apologized, so please play this back. While I try to come to terms with such a heinous act. You know in more than one way, cocaine numbs the brain. All I did was think about how the funds once came. Then I ran across this memory and it stung the brain. How can you ever destroy the beauty from which one came? That's a savage, you're the reason why me and these beats make a marriage. Why I rhyme above average and I ain't shit. Glad you got yourself together, no thanks to me. Strong and beautiful, the way things should be. You must love me. Every night, but I never would suffer. Just smile, my big brother's trying to make me tougher. As we grew, fussing and fighting continued. As I plundered through your stuff and snuck your clothes to school. Got intense, real intense as we got older. Never believed it would lead to me popping one in your shoulder. With my rings, knew you had it cause you took too long. As Mickey, Annie and the girl that bought it looked on. Puffing and puffing, gun in my hand, told you step outside. Hoping, you said no, but you hurt my pride. Made our way down the steps, maybe you thought it was just a threat. Or maybe your life was just that crazy and you was begging for death. Try to justify this in my young mind, but the adrenaline and my ego hurt combined. Drove me berserk, saw the devil in your eyes. High off more than weed, confused, I just closed my young eyes and squeezed. What a sound, opened my eyes just in time to see you stumbling to the ground. Damn. What the fuck I done now? Running around in the circle, thinking I'm ass out. High gun burning my waist, ran straight to jazz out like a stranger. Damn, I just shot my nigga and ran up into the night as if it was not my nigga. Left the scene, how could I go out that way? Still you asked to see me in the hospital the next day. You must love me. In my brain to protect you from this life and keep you away from the game. But you was one of the few people that I can trust. And the fact of the matter, I slang these five for us. You put the pressure on me daily, rarely would you let it go. But for the 1,001 time I had to tell you no. But it was one of those days when nobody was around and I needed an emergency trip out of town. Search my mental Rolodex for all the numbers I know. As you stared in my face, asking me could you go. We said send her, everything will go smooth. Just tell her what to do and everything will go cool. Strap your body with them things as you boarded the plane. Couldn't explain the strange feeling that I caught in the vein. I'm thinking, why would I send you when I knew it ain't right? I'm thinking, what will make you sacrifice your life? You must love me.
Mayahotep, Grand Rising, Better Love. You are listening to the Truth to Power Show. I'm Beverly, and we have Thomas Tuckmose Smith with us, and every Monday night, and he's talking technology. And so how are you doing this evening, Tuckmose?
I'm doing good, Bev. How are you?
Great.
That's good. Nothing new here.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to see what was going on with the news, so I don't know what they're doing. They do what they do. Anything
new? There was supposed to be a testimony by Hunter Biden's best friend and business partner that has already been found guilty on some crimes. And over the weekend, the Biden family or the Biden sent the attorney general to try to have him locked up before he could testify today. But it backfired on him. So he testified before Congress, but it was a closed door setting. So we don't know what he said. But, but either way, it's damning to the Bidens, I would imagine. That's why they closed the door on it. They didn't want that out in the public, like all the rest of the testimony. They could flip everything else and say, well, it was Trump, but they can't do that to this guy. He was firsthand right there, and he's doing time for, some of this stuff that Hunt is associated with. So he's probably pissed off, that y'all couldn't get me off. So we'll see what happens with that. The Biden crime family looks like they're going down. I think that the Democrats might have said, okay, we got to get rid of them because they have no chance of winning. The problem they have is what they're left with is Kamala Harris, and nobody wants that. So,
what about Kennedy?
I have an article
on him
tonight.
They don't even want Kennedy.
I don't think Kennedy, I thought, now, I could be wrong. Didn't they say that convicted felons can't be the president?
He been a convicted felon?
Oh, yeah.
What did
he do? Big time crackhead back in the days, man. Stealing stuff out there, disowned by the family, out in the streets, in and out of jail. Yeah, he definitely got to have a record, man. He did time. Robert Kennedy Jr. Yeah,
right.
I just watched the whole interview.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was shocked too. He was going on, and you guys could go and find this. It's a guy on YouTube. He's a battle rapper, but he got a podcast, and his podcast is real popular. He got over 1 million subscribers real fast. He got a big deal. His name is Mass Hopper. And Mass Hopper.
Okay.
Yeah, M-A-T-H, Mass, and last name Hopper, like Jimmy Hopper, H-O-F-F-A.
Okay.
And he just released the whole video, because first he puts them out in like little 10-minute segments, and then he releases the whole thing. So he just released the whole 2-3-hour video where Robert Kennedy is at a barbershop in Harlem. That's where they filmed it at. So he comes to the barbershop, sits in the chair, and tells his story, and, when they talked about prison reform, he went right into, were you ever in prison? And the guy was like, yeah, I was in this jail. He said, oh, I've been there before. Yeah, don't you hate when they lock it down at this time? I mean, yeah, he went into depth. He's definitely in jail, you know what I'm saying? So he said he's been 11 prisons in New York, in and out since he was a young kid, the black sheep of the family. That type of story is what he got, I was
he can relate to black people, huh?
A little too well, because when you read between the lines, like he was talking about his father, Robert Kennedy, the attorney general, had an epiphany with Brooklyn. He said he had an epiphany with this area of Brooklyn, Bedford-Stuyvesant, and how they were the reason that, they got the first path marked, and they had this put there and that. And I said, oh, so this is the dude who started gentrification. Okay, that's pretty much what he's saying, you know. Yeah, but, you know, but they own a huge section of Bedford-Stuyvesant to this day, the Kennedy family. And they, yeah, you mean, when you watch the interview here, he went into depth with some of the stuff. But I only watched it one time, and I was working, so I got to go back to it. But as I was watching it, I'm like, oh, he was down with the gentrification thing, you know, and stuff like that. But he was talking, black people would definitely fall for him. Because he talks, but he won't appeal to black women as much as to black men, I don't think. I think he'll appeal to the men more so than to the women. That's what I'm saying. And they need someone that appeals to black women. He's not a very good talker. You know, like women like to be sweet talk. You know what I'm saying? Obama was excellent. You know, Bill Clinton is perfect. You know, sweet talking, you know. But he's not a sweet talker. Yeah, he don't got the finesse. He kind of street, you know what I'm saying? And as he got comfortable around the brothers, he started letting the guard down and saying some stuff that I'm sure his campaign said, don't mention this, don't mention that.
Right.
So it was interesting to watch him, but I liked him. But I didn't think you could be the president if you had a felony. That's what shocked me. Like, well, what are they going to break the rule for him or – You know, but then again, they let Ted Cruz run, and he was born in Mexico, so anything's possible, man.
And where possible, was Obama born at? You know, they had a thing about his birth certificate.
Officially, he was born in Hawaii, officially, as far as what they're going to put down on the official documentation. He was a Hawaiian-born American, so... He was definitely an American because Hawaii is part of the United States, but we both know that he was probably born in Indonesia or somewhere else, you know. But what can we say? You know, he just popped up on the scene on us, and he was very well-spoken. He had a real good appearance. He looked trustworthy, looked articulate. He looked like the type of guy you wanted. Man, that guy is... good, man. But you know, he turned out to be a snake in the grass. And sometimes those guys who are a little rough around the edge, people relate to more like a Trump. You know, Trump only got like a 10-word vocabulary. He's cycling names. We gonna call him on Crooked Joe Biden instead of Sleepy Joe. You know, he keeps the same stuff. You know, we're going to change. Hillary is now beautiful Hillary Clinton. She's beautiful. Now he's, Crooked Joe. And, you know, he keeps it real simple. And people relate to that, you know what I'm saying? Black people like games. We like to be gamed up. We like to hear that shit. That's why we like rap music and stuff. It's people talking. And we fall for it every time, you know. When you start talking too much, white people don't like you. Who this nigga think, you know, who this person think they are, all these words, you know, trying to confuse us. They don't, we love it, man. Keep talking. Just keep talking, brother. You know, we go for it. I had a few articles I pulled up before we get to the lines. I didn't have a straight up topic this week.
Before we move on, we also got to look at, we're dealing with crime families here because, he come from a crime family. And we're dealing with Biden. Biden is a crime family. So this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah, well, the difference is the Kennedys, they was a crime family become politicians, right? So they fit the mold of most of white ethnics, right? Because they're Irish. They came over. They weren't classified as white. They were classified as Irish. They were somewhat mistreated, but treated way better than us. They moved up the ladder. They got political power and all that stuff. And they cleaned up their image of the gangsterism through legal businesses and things like that. Same thing happens with the... with the Jews, but the Kennedy family going from bootlegging to legal businesses, having the sons be politicians. That's how it normally works. Biden did it the opposite way. Now, he used to come from Irish immigrants, too. But he got rich. It's 50 years in politics. Like, he didn't rob he didn't do no crime on the streets. All his crimes is in Washington. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
He got it straight up the Apple way, you know. Like, how do you go to Congress being a poor white boy who just finished college, you know, and got put into office, and you worth $100 million now? Your only job has been, all your life has been a congressperson, a senator, a vice president. So where all this money come from? Y'all only get $200,000 a year. So, you know, his crimes come from inside of Washington, and that's why he's well-protected, because everyone knows, hey, if he making money like that, all of them making money like that. And it's just like a game. Like, yo, you know, we all going to shoot the dude, man, so that way we all catch the body, you know? No one's snitching on nobody now. We all pulled the trigger. And that's how it works in Washington. Like, if he goes down, God knows who he's bringing with him. So they're going to protect him at all costs. You know, everybody that's in on these schemes with him, they got incentive to protect him. So that's the catch.
It looks like it's a lot. Yeah. Looks like it's
and
a 50 lot.
50 years of crimes, man, you know, he done made money with this person, that person. He got all different people who they've been in all types of schemes and scams together to get this money. So they're all going to shut up, because he could damage a lot of people. So that's his protection. I think they're going to make him resign. They say, listen, we're going to protect your son. We're going to protect your legacy. We're going to resign due to health reasons. And but they're going to wait until closer to the election time, because they don't want Kamala Harris to be the president. That's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
They can't have him resign and she be the president for too long. It has to be in enough time for them to have a candidate. So that's the catch to it. So she'll, you know, and they don't want it to be her. So they got a tough way to go.
They don't want Kennedy.
No, nah, let's
so
get
who
into
else
Kennedy.
Is
this is my article on Kennedy.
That got.
This is my article on Kennedy, just to tell people how Kennedy's going about it. The truth within RFK Jr.'s statement about ethnically targeted weapons. This is from the Activist Post. On July 15th, the New York Post released a report titled RFK says COVID may have been ethnically targeted to spare Jews, setting off a weeks-long controversy and accusations of anti-Semitism, threatening to derail the outsider's campaign for Democratic Kennedy Jr. While discussing COVID-19 at a dinner, apparently unaware of being filmed, Kennedy stated, there's an argument that is ethnically targeted. COVID-19 attacks certain races disproportionately. He continued, COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and Black people. The people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese. The establishment media and politicians have determined these statements are anti-Semitic. So Kennedy has been forced to spend the last 2 weeks making clear he stands with Jewish community and is 100% committed to supporting Israel. Okay, but it goes on to read. He has stated that he was referring to a 2020 study by the Cleveland Clinic, which examined genetic factors that may determine susceptibility to COVID-19. The researchers stated, clinical observations suggest that genetic factors may influence COVID-19 disease suspectedly, but these factors remain largely unknown. They examined people who included Ashkenazi Jews, African Americans, East Asians, and South Asians, and determined that the Ashkenazi Jews and East Asians are not susceptible to the disease. So he's not making this up. They forced him to apologize so he could keep the campaign going, okay? The New York Post also maligned Kennedy for stating, we know, quote, we do know that Chinese are spending hundreds of millions of dollars developing ethnic bioweapons. We are developing ethnic bioweapons as well. He also said they are seemingly referring to the U.S. government. So once again, he ain't telling no lies, you know, but they want to attack him for saying it. Call him an anti-Semitic because he said Jews can't catch the COVID-19 as high as susceptible to it as black people and Caucasians. And Caucasus Asians is Indians, if you ask me, you know, Caucasus Asians. So Kennedy, to me, he's got a lot of balls. You know, I like him already. This the type of stuff he's doing. But the Democrats ain't going for this. They ain't never going back him. You know that, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Democrats, this is against their motive. And when you watch his interview with the black people, you're going to see how comfortable he is. Yeah, you did some time in jail. You could tell, you know, sat back on a barber chair, kicked it with the fellas. At first, he started out a little, but, you know, he got comfortable, and he started talking a little bit more freely and spicing it up a little. And I said, oh, okay, he, you know, he's cool. He's a cool white boy,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Kennedy's all right with me, but I don't think the Democrats are going to run him. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But that took some balls, man. You know, once you go at COVID, you're in trouble. And he went at the Jews, you're in trouble. He went at the Chinese, well, you're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because all that has to just stay in line with each other.
Right.
Anything new happening in Detroit?
I don't know if they have because I haven't really been paying attention. I know that the governor, well, I think we already mentioned that she's made it, they trying to put the law that you can't say certain pronouns against the ginger people, you can go to jail.
Yeah, it's a damn shame. You know, you can't say he, she, him, her. You know, you got to say they, there. It's like, man. Did you get a chance to watch They Clone Tyrone?
Yeah, I did finally get a chance to see it.
So what did you think about that?
I mean, this is what we've been talking about for years, you know, but we talked about it, but to see it, that's kind of like really bring it home. Because I know family members, they were calling me like, they saying this, you've been saying this, they saying the same thing you would have been saying. Duh. They had to see it on the movie screen before they believed it.
Did you notice that the white people were being cloned?
Wait a minute. The white people was being cloned?
Yeah. You didn't notice that there were certain white people that had afros.
But they were clones? Those were the ones
they were
that were running.
They was turning them black. They was trying to turn them black. And they was trying to figure out how to turn the black people white. That's what the old professor was saying. Who was the guy who ended up being Tyrone at the end? He was all the characters. He was the bodyguard. He was the, you know, but yeah. Turning the black people, they were keeping only alive the black people who were destroying the community. You know what I'm saying? It's the drug dealers, the pimps, you know, the bad guys in the community. They wasn't cloning all the black people, just the bad ones, so they could keep all the bad stuff constantly happening. And, you know, yeah, so that was a really good, I thought a good movie. There's a lot of metaphysics in there, too. Like the church, they had to keep the minister clone because he kept people in that mindset. When they put that church in that church, they start drinking that grape juice. And now
right.
they're susceptible. And he was pretty much telling them, you know, accept what you got. You know, don't strive for more. You know, just be happy, you know, having less. You know what I'm saying? Like, and keeping them in that stupor, you know. Yeah, even the DJ, remember the DJ at the party, and he said to all the people, they was like, he had a little afro.
Yeah.
You know? He was trying to act like he
was
black.
Though. Right.
Yeah, so those were the.
Okay.
Yeah, then they had the clone he shot. Jamie Foxx shot one of them when they went down the stairs. And, so one of the doctors with an afro, he was trying to rap or something. Dance. Remember they looking at him like, what the hell are you trying to do? You know, and it started off with Michael Jackson. Everybody was arguing about Michael Jackson while the white man was watching. And what was Michael Jackson? He went from black to white.
Black to white, yeah.
Yeah, so it was, to me, it was a lot going on in there. Like, oh, shit, you know. But then it got me thinking, are we being cloned now? And I'm not talking about in laboratories, but the United States is bringing a lot of people who are classified as African Americans and black people over here, and they look like us, but they ain't us.
They not us.
They don't got our flavor. You know, they don't got our conviction. They don't got our fight. Like, we fight back. You know, they just accept a lot of this stuff. And they're like clones of us. Like, they're going to be more easy to handle. You know, they're going to be less likely to have a want for more. You know, like, they'll have a want for more, but I'm saying feel like they're owed more because of what was happening to us and stuff. They don't have that affliction. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is great for them. This is better than where they came from. You know, so why y'all niggas complaining all the time? You know, but shit, you know what they did to us? You know what I'm saying? So that is, to me, how they're cloning us right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a brother come from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I see a brother come from Africa, and he only African for a short period of time, right? Because pretty soon you're going to look up, and he's going to have on a pair of Jordans, some jeans, you know what I'm saying, a shirt, hat to the back, listening to rap music, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, all right. Just a short period of time, they try to become us. They become clones of us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we looking at them like, man, you ain't one of us. But a white person might look at them and say, look at them niggas. You know what I'm saying? They don't see the difference. You know, so it's sort of like that same thing, like we being cloned right before our eyes and don't even see it, you know. And obedience and subservience, that's what they're going to get from this other group of people because these people, they didn't fight back in their own country. That's why they're here.
Yeah.
They're not going to fight back against, like, we don't win, but we will fight. We will go and tear some shit up what's our opinion? We got people that's going to constantly be trying to fight for our rights and make sure things are equal and stuff, but they don't care if it's not equal.
Right.
They just hear. They hear. Shit, nigga, you know where we came from? Shit, y'all got food. Y'all got life. You know, this is great, you know? So you got to...
It's paradise.
Paradise, yeah. So they cloning us right before us. Because these people are more functional than us. I have to give it to them because they have a culture that's not, you know, turkey ass and sell some drugs and smoke some weed. They got a culture that's more intact. And they come over here and they're able to still have that sense of community that we lost.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're outperforming us in a lot of areas because of that. And, you know, simply because of that, you know. But if it's almost like if we ever got our stuff, like, somewhat together, we'll be very, very, very threatening to these people. That's why they got to keep us, you know, apart. And these people coming here, buffer. Like they're using them against us. That's why they put all of them in Congress. Like, how will you have all these people born in Jamaica and Trinidad and Guyana and Africa in Congress? How are they representing us? You can't represent what, you know what I'm saying? You know, you can't represent us. Y'all just got here. Y'all don't have the same experiences we have. Y'all don't got the same beef we have. Y'all ain't old nothing. We old shit. You know what I'm saying? They stole y'all land and stuff from us. You know, y'all left y'all land. So it's a difference, you know? So just watch out, man. It's a lot of cloning. And also, when you take the, they clone Tyrone, the other black movie about cloning that it kept bringing me to was Us. I think Jordan Peele.
Okay.
He did the one with the sunken place, then he did Us, where it was Lupita Nyong'o. She was a little girl, and she went into the House of Mirrors, and it was a little girl that looked just like her on the other side of the mirror, and dragged her into the mirror, and she went out and lived in the real world. And you come to find out that everybody on Earth has a clone of themselves that lives underground. And on this day, the clones were going to come up and kill the real people and take their place. You know what I'm saying? And that was Us. That's where you got the tether. They would kill the real people, and then they'll go and join hands, and they were trying to make a line across the Earth. And they were tethered. You know, that's where that word started coming in at. So that was
now,
a clone movie, you know.
I always heard that we have another person that's identical to us. You know, they might not live where we live at. You know, I might live in Detroit. This other person might live in Louisiana, but there's somebody that looks just like you. Because people will say, I just saw you, a person. I look identical to you or something like that. Before we even was talking about cloning.
Yeah, yeah. It's somebody named Charles. Yeah, everywhere I go, you look like Charles. I'm like, who the fuck is Charles? You know, but yeah, man. Somebody named Charles that look like me out there. But yeah, man, so I tie those two movies together, you know, both black movies, both talking about cloning. One was talking about it from like a physical sense. That was the Jamie Foxx one. And I think it was more of a spiritual sense with the Us. It was more of a, you know, like a deeper meaning in it. But both were showing you it's definitely something not right with this cloning thing. And, you know, I just read the article about Robert Kennedy. And you see what he was talking about, the COVID only affected Caucasians and black people. And then I go to these two articles here. Now, these are both talking about the same thing. One is from Insider. It's called The Legal Medical Lab Containing Bioengineered Rat Mites and Infectious Agents, Including HIV and Herpes, Discovered in California. What? A legal bioengineering lab. Okay. A lab in California containing nearly 1,000 bioengineered mice has officially been shut down for improperly stored tissue samples that were tested and contained HIV, COVID-19, B, E. coli, and SFIST, whatever that is, and malaria, okay? So this was in California, a whole bio lab containing rats with these things. So that brings me to the second article. Same place, same lab, different article. And this Insider is a mainstream media. You see how they wrote that article, right? They didn't go into depth. Now, activist post, title, I've never seen anything like it. Mysterious Chinese biolab discovered in remote California city. Oh, y'all didn't know the name all that in y'all mainstream media, all right? Why would a biolab run by a shady Chinese company be operating in Reedley, California in the central San Jaquan Valley. What was supposed to be an empty building used for only storage was the home of a black market type lab testing facility. This is in California. Chinese run lab. All the people working in there are Chinese people from China. Public health staff observed blood, tissue, and other bodily fluid samples and serum, 1,000 vials of unlabeled fluids and suspected biological material. Additionally, they found 100 genetically engineered mice engineered to catch and carry COVID-19 living in inhumane conditions. 773 of the mice had been euthanized, and the others were found dead. So Chinese biolab, we're talking about U.S. running biolabs in the Ukraine. Well, maybe they was running biolabs in the Ukraine and Russia, because Chinese, and probably Russia too, is running biolabs here in the United States. Maybe they had a reason to be doing it. Here we go in the article. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention tested the substances and detected at least 20 potential infectious agents, including coronavirus, HIV, hepatitis, herpes, according to the Health and Human Services letter dated June 6th. This happened in June, hearing about it. Agents also found thousands of package boxes, many with shipping labels from China. Below is a photo. Well, you guys got to see activist post. I'll read the title in a second, because you got to see the amount of stuff these people got. A whole, like, storage facility they converted into a biolab in California. And they ain't locked nobody up. The person who runs the biolab name is Zaquin Yao. He says it's Prestige Biotech. That's the name of the company. He's due in court to talk about this. Not under arrest. According to the officials, it was a lucky find. A lucky find. The lab was discovered in Reedley, California, city code enforcement offices. When they saw a garden hose attached to the building, they decided to investigate. So because this is supposed to be vacant storage facility, that has nobody in just storing stuff. They see a hose attached to it. Hose wasn't there before. They like, man, who the hell is up in here? And they go and kick in the doors and they find this. Has to be some being done by Biden and them. What do you think? This is a risk to national security. You got biolabs with people got mice with AIDS and herpes and malaria and hepatitis and, of course, COVID-19. I mean, is Wuhan facility really in the United States somewhere and we just don't know about it? You know, this is crazy. What do you think about that, Beth?
Well, I think it started here, and I think that they took it over there to, avoid the regulations. But I think that it started in the Carolinas at Duke University or somewhere up in there.
Yeah, me too. I think so too. But what do you think about China having biolabs in the United States being caught and not making the news?
And
when you look at the insider article, they didn't say that was a Chinese company. They didn't say none of that stuff. It's like they cover it for them, the mainstream media. You know, it's just really insane. You know that today, when that last night, you had these brothers. They appeared to be coming home from, well, they said they were coming home from the Jersey Shore. I believe it was in Brooklyn. They stopped at the gas station, and they were four or five gay men in a car, coming from the beach, and they stopped at the gas station to fill up their car, and they, I guess a song came on they liked, so they got out the car and they started dancing to it, and they were at the beach, so they didn't have any shirts on, you know, probably had, you know, just shirts was wet or whatever. So they was, they had on shorts, mm-hmm. like looked like swim trunks, and they were dancing, probably doing nasty, you know, gay dances. But, you know, so at the same time, this group of Arabic men are walking out of the store of the gas station. And they walk over to these guys and start calling them names and trying to tell them that they don't want them to see them dancing and shirts off and, you know, they, it's against their religion and this, that, and the other. And these guys, you know, started talking back like, mind your business. We ain't bothering you. You know, leave us alone. And the Arabic people start walking away. But then they come back and they're more aggressive. So these black guys, you know, walk over to them, and they're having an argument back and forth. And one of the Arabics just pulled out a knife and killed one of the black dudes, stabbed him to death right there. Only one to lay a hand on anybody was this dude. And the person they killed, he happened to be a professional dancer at, like, Juilliard or something, you know, straight-up ballerina, real professional dancer, you know. So outrage in the city because they didn't lock this dude up. How you didn't lock this guy up? They talk about, oh, we're going to see if it's a hate crime or whatever. Should it matter? He stabbed someone to death who didn't hit him. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, y'all provoked the fight.
Self-defense.
Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, it wasn't no self-defense because it was an argument and you just pulled out a knife and stabbed someone. The argument that y'all started, because y'all could have just walked past the gay dudes and kept walking, you know, but y'all had to say something to them, which, you know, I wouldn't say nothing to no. I see a bunch of gay dudes, I look the other way, like, oh, you know, I'm not going to go over there and say, yo, this is an abomination and all this crazy shit. Like, for what? They going to do whatever they going to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that was wrong for them to just stab this dude because he didn't hit him. It was just verbal. They started the verbal altercation, and this, it looked like the Arabic guy who stabbed him looked young. So it looked like as the voices got higher, the men was trying to hold stuff back. Like, they wasn't trying to fight. And this guy just jumped out of nowhere with a knife and stabbed the boy to death. It's all on tape, too. But it's just, the worst part is how you don't lock this dude up. Like, that's, to me, if a black dude, if this was a black guy, a group of black guys who saw the same thing, say, yo, y'all faggots over there dancing, stupid, and it turned into an altercation, and one of those black guys stabbed, all them black dudes would have been in jail. Or every single one of them would have got convicted of that murder, the accessory to the murder. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But y'all let all of them go home. And now, oh, you know, we don't even really know the guy. We have his identity. We don't have a location for him. So you trying to let this dude get away with it. And, that to me is just so messed up, man. Because I generally don't fight for but, you know, I like equal treatment, equal law. Like, I see stuff that we don't get away with. Y'all shouldn't be able to get away with, especially when you just came here. These dudes was, like, Arabic people from Arabia. They wasn't like American Arabic. You know what I'm saying? They was still, you know, probably run a hot dog truck or something, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they drive a taxi cab. Yeah, so that I thought was messed up. And Arabics also, they got the Arabs, they created their own version of GPT called Religious GPT. And it's in Weekend, this article, Religious GPT and Chatbots. The chatbots and developers fighting bias with AI. And pretty much they made an AI version of the Quran called the Quran GPT. And, Quran GPT. And what it's showing me is that it's a little bit of a back and forth in the Arabic world whether this is good or not. It's showing that this GPT thing is much bigger than just the United States. You know, like, yeah, y'all are pushing this now to rewrite the Quran. You know, just like you could rewrite the Bible now. Man, that's not what it said. He said it said this. You know, we translated it wrong all these years, you know. And this has been accepted by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, that's Dubai. So a lot of the big players in the Arab world have accepted this. And it's just showing me that this thing is a lot bigger than it just appears to be, you know. It's hitting places where you wouldn't expect them to fall for it. You know, you wouldn't expect the Muslims to fall for something like this, but they are. So, you know, that's, you know, pretty much a bad thing. Now, they have other GPPs. This is from Activist Post. It's called Worm. The title of the article is Worm GPP and Four GPP Emerge as Scammers Weaponized AI Chatbots to Steal Data. So, we did ChatGPT series already, Bev, and we went on to do when they came out with Chaos GPT and all that. So these new GPTs have been created by hackers and scammers, and they're designed to steal your data without you even knowing. In the article, we threat actors are using generative artificial intelligence tools to automate the creation of highly prevented fake emails personalized to the recipient, thus increasing the chances of a successful attack, according to cloud security company SlashNext. According to the findings from SlashNext, bad actors have repurposed technology like OpenAI, ChatGPT, to accelerate cybercrime. They found new AI cybercrime tool called WormGPT on the dark web community. It has been advertised as a way to launch sophisticated phishing attacks. Phishing is spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. You ever heard of that, Bev?
Yeah, I heard of it. I've seen it, but I don't know really. I haven't got into it.
Phishing happens to me all the time at work, right? The company sends us a phish email. Our company, if we open that email, we got to pack our bags by the end of the day and go home. And anyone who opens that email, you're getting fired that day. So when you get this email, you're going to look. Because before you click on it, you read where it came, you see that it's an external link. So now your guards are up, like, you know, only emails I should be receiving is from internal people, right? So now my guard goes up. So now I'm looking at who's the sender. Now, sometimes it's from my health care, you know, like, okay, that's cool, Blue Cross Blue Shield, you know, something like that. It might be from a vendor that I use to supply something that I purchased for the job. So I look at it and say, okay, this is an okay person. Sometimes it's obvious, like, they trying to trick me with this one. So you drag that email into this little fish icon for phishing. And then within a few seconds, you'll get an email from IT saying, you successfully passed the phishing test. You can keep your job, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? Now, where it gets difficult is when I got to answer the emails using my phone, because it doesn't have... I can't see the sender. So it just says external link. So I'm going to wait until I get before a computer so I can see the sender, you know what I'm saying, without clicking on it. But as soon as you see a phishing email, go straight to phishing so IT can get it. Now, let's just say it's a real phishing. I open it now. I gave that company or whoever that person is access to our internal emails. They could go through my emails now, pull out other people, see what we're talking about. So that's why you don't do that. So they have this sophisticated phishing. They're saying it's a highly convincing fake email personalized to the recipient, thus increasing their success of attack. And we started getting trained on these recently where an email looks like it's from the company, but it'll be something wrong. Like, look at the email, like, at the ending, it'll be another letter there or something, because they can't use the same email we use. So they'll add a, you know, an extra letter or a little dash,
mm-hmm.
or something like that, so we can spot that fake. But back to the article. Cyber criminals can use such technology to automate the creation of highly convincing fake emails personalized to recipients, thus increasing we are now seeing an unsettling trend among cyber criminals on forums, evidence in disgusting threads offering jailbreaks for interfaces like ChatGPT. These jailbreaks are specialized prompts that are becoming increasingly common. They refer to carefully crafted inputs designated to manipulate interfaces like ChatGPT and to generate an output that might involve disclosing sensitive information, producing inappropriate content, or even executing a harmful code. So that's pretty much what would happen. What could happen if I click on the email, one of these personalized ones? You know, they could put a harmful code in the company. I work for the people that own the stock exchange. Imagine if I click on the email and everything, you know, like, you know. So back to our malicious actors are now creating their own custom modules similar to ChatGPT, but easier to use for nefarious purposes. Not only are they creating these custom modules, they're also advertising them to fellow bad actors, showing them how to do it. So this shows security is becoming more challenging due to the artificial intelligence. And as we knew it would be, people thought, oh, this will be better. This will be able to knock everything out. Nah, they already figured out a hack. Here's the other one. Our team, first one was called FraudGPT. Now, this is WormGPT. Our team recently gained access to a tool known as WormGPT through prominent online forum that's associated with cybercrime. This tool presents itself as a black hat alternative to GPT modules designed specifically for malicious activities. WormGPT is a AI module based on TTPJ language module, which was developed in 2021. It boasts a range of features, including unlimited character support, chat memory retention, and code formatting capabilities. You know, so pretty advanced. You know, this is somebody just messing around creating stuff in a chat room. Someone said, hey, check this out, what I created. And, you know, just like that, they pass it on and goes to the next person, and they use it for this and they use it for that. And now you got an epidemic of people hacking people through the GTP system now, which is going to be a whole other set of crimes that don't exist yet. So that happened pretty fast.
And I'm noticing a lot of companies are sending you notice talking about they updated their privacy clause. So maybe that can have something to do with it.
Hopefully they had to add this AI stuff to it, probably.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last article I had for today before we can go to the lines. And really it's a question. The U.S. announces $345 million in unprecedented aid for Taiwan. So my question is, this isn't a lot of money. I mean, compared to what they're sending to damn Ukraine, right? $345 million. But China's pissed that they sent $1 there. If there's a huge war and we have to have a draft, should women be allowed in the draft? My question to the family.
Say that again now.
If we happen to have a war, a large scale war, China,
mm-hmm.
Russia, whatever, and there has to be a draft, you know, we,
mm-hmm.
not enough people in the military, so they got to have a draft and draft people to go to the war like they did in Vietnam, Korea, et cetera. Do you think that women should be drafted as well as men?
I mean, I thought the women had the same rights as men when it came to the military.
Yeah, but the draft is for men specifically. That's the verbiage, you know. But should it be changed, you know? Because you know, I just want to know what the family thinks. Because it is supposed to be equal now.
My thing is, it's supposed to be equal. So I mean, why not the women can't? But why don't you know? It's all of this AI. Why they don't have AI fight the war?
Oh, I'm sure they do. They call that cyber wars. They fight those year round every day. You know, they stealing information from China computer system. China stealing from the U.S. That's why Trump didn't want Huawei equipment for the 5G, because then they won't have to spy anymore. Now they could just automatically go right to them, you know. So they spy, but the AI isn't gonna fight for you. You know, you need, until they put robots controlled by the AI out there. But guarantee you, if put robots powered by AI out there, then China and Russia will have the same type of robots. So it won't be like a guarantee they're going to have the better ones. You know, from what I've noticed is whatever the United States makes, Russia seems to make something pretty similar, just as good. You know, some of them are better, some of it not as good, but good enough to compete. So I'm guaranteed if the United States comes out with military robot Terminators type stuff tomorrow, then Russia will be pretty much in line with theirs, you know. It's almost like they read from the same playbook, which I think they do, that they pretty much share this information, and so they always stay on point with each other, because they need an enemy. Both sides need an enemy to keep control. You know, either way you cut it, who can control everything? It's white people, right? You've got the U.S. or Russia. If that's your choices, there ain't no other choices, right? China trying to be a choice, but... You know, I mean,
but China,
they get to be proven.
But to me, they could be a player, because China is good at copying. So if you got Russia and America, you know, got they a robot, I could see China emulating, copying. You know, they're good at that.
I agree. Yeah, China won't be too far behind. And being that it's a copy, it might not be as good, but what China has the ability to do is to mass produce so many that, you know, it won't even matter that theirs isn't. So it's sort of like during World War II, the U.S. had inferior tanks to Germany. The Panzer tanks were much better than the Sherman, but being that the U.S. had Ford and General Motors and Chrysler assembly lines making the Shermans, they were sending 10 over for every Panzer that came out. So it was so many of them, they couldn't do nothing with it. You know, even though theirs was better, it was just, they were just outnumbered. It's the sheer amount, you know. So that's what could happen with China.
Yeah.
And, but I just want to know what
Okay, you want to know what the family, the listeners, what they think about your question. So 323-642-1586, push number one. If you have an answer to the question or a comment, we at the round table. So come and join the round table, the mound table. And so we would like to hear what your opinion and what you're thinking on this topic. Okay, we have Kwame, you at the table. You had your mute on?
Yeah, I did. So I just had to walk away.
my phone's on charge. Please,
buddy. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
And good evening, Sister Bev. The
good
question
evening.
I heard when I called in, you were talking about the military and the female. My daughter did 2 tours, and she did 13 years in the Army. She was hazmat. And she was on front line out there over there in Iraq or Kuwait, whichever one she was in. But the part for her was is that women were behind the lines being of service, but they wasn't. They would go out on patrol. The thing was is that women are not drafted in to go and fight, but when they volunteer, they have a certain, it's according on their MOF, is what their infantry, if they're, like she was chemical. You have people that's in nursing, some are doctors, some fly the drones. So they're not like a draft, because the draft says if you're an infantry, you going on the front line, you're the first to get killed. Or you going in to clean up. Like in the Marine Corps, it's according on the branch of service that you're in. The only one, when you draft it, you go into the Army. When you volunteer, you can go into all the other three. You can be a Marine Corps, Navy, or Air Force. So women
and
making
you,
those choices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, women
and
making
you
those
no
choices to go in. No, it's according on your scores and what you qualify as they look at what do you qualify to do. If you're an intelligent person, you're working things that are computerized or intelligence like that. But if you just coming off the street, that's why, you know, women that mostly volunteer go into military, young girls coming out of high school wanting to make money to go to college to get the GI Bill and stuff like that. Some go in because they in a bad environment, and that's the only way they can get out of the community because they can't afford to go to college or that. So they go in the military because you got a place to sleep, you got a paycheck, and you learn to follow orders.
Mm. Mm. So
yeah, so if it was a all-out war and there had to be a draft, you think that it should be equal? We're talking combat fighting now. Like it ain't no more. We need all hands on deck.
No. Because there's no. You know, they make these movies, these G.I. Janes and all of this. It's a different thing in being out there when somebody's shooting at you and you got to shoot back and you got to be able to defend that person next to you. And that's the part, there's a difference. Yeah, women can fight in there and do that, but the thing is that they would rather have men. And the other part, too, is the military in fighting these wars like China and Russia is because they take the lesser of their people to put into this service to these bodies can be lost, and then we ain't losing nothing great. You don't see... Joe Biden's son went in and got killed, but you don't see all of these people are well. They're not drafted. They're not going in the military. They're going to find them to keep them out of that. It's for the lesser of the population. You have now more people, immigrants, are coming in and joining the military because they can get citizenship better if they can get into the military and serve in the military.
Yeah, okay, I get you. So you don't
yeah.
think that would be a smart idea? Gotcha.
No, because it and we have to look at something. You have recruiters that's in our community, but you don't see community out there in Becky and Heather, you know, all out there in suburbia where they got met. They ain't got no recruiters stationed in the mall and where they go at. That's only what you see around in the hood.
Yeah, and in poor white areas, yeah, like the Ranchies
right.
and Midwest, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
given
the South,
weather
South.
Out,
What about the trendies and the gays? I mean, if you're a man, what about if you are trendy or whatever they call themselves?
The thing of it is that even though you maybe, you know, say, okay, I'm gay and I'm, you going online, okay? The thing that you got to do is draft it and you go in, that gay man has got just like that man that's straight.
But what about the trendies where the female and grew a beard and took her hormones? Because, you know, they want these trannies to have their rights too. So should they be able to be drafted? Because they say they want to take you to jail and argue you down that they not a man.
Okay, but the part of it is what your birth certificate says, and this is what they're looking at. It's biologically,
okay.
Because when you turn 18, you have to go to Selective Service and register. You can be as fly or as feminine as you want to be, but the part of it is that when you have to go and register as what you biologically have, a male, you register for that. And if they call a draft and you done went and changed your body, they look at you from what you were born as, a male.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So all this other stuff that they talking about where they want to change these rules and things and people want to take you to court because they ain't changed their bodies, but the military is going by what your birth certificate say, and that's how it should be.
That's what it is, because what they're doing is the only thing that they took
they got that, that they got that Trini General, and they refer to him as Pop.
Right, but the part of it is that he went through the military. He didn't go. Yeah, they have male and female going through officer schools and doing all of that. Those are the elite and the rich folks that send their to military schools and train their children to do that. And what they're doing is an allowing and the part of the military saying, okay, don't tell something, see, don't tell, whatever they came out with, and the part of you being whatever your sexual preference is that, yeah, you can be that. But what we recruited you for as a man, you have to do man's job.
Well, I think if the military looks at the birth certificate, I think that should be across the board. So all that other stuff they talking about shouldn't count.
Civil rights. This is what came out of the civil rights movement. Everybody piggyback off of the civil rights movement. I have this right because you gave this to them. Now you got to give us ours. You got to give the woman hers with her being given the same rights and being able to have citizenship and all the rights that go along with it. Okay, we're going to give this to you. And this is what they did in changing the law saying you have the right to choose that you whatever gender you want to be with, that's your right. But the biological clock says is that you are a male and we need male bodies to fill this spot to go out here and fight. You are going.
Okay. And the women, so they can't put them on the front line if they wanted to.
No, they'll have to be in combat areas, but they don't go right out there on the front line. You know, how many Navy SEAL women do you know? How many, there may be a few Ranger women, but there's certain areas in the military.
I don't think so.
I don't think they can pass the training. No.
Yeah, because the Army in general, they changed the training for women to be able to make it.
Right.
But the Navy SEALs and Special Forces, they refused to change because they said, if you can't do this, then you don't need to be out here in Special Forces.
Right.
So they're allowed to work within the guidelines of keeping it all male, because it'll be impossible for a woman to do, you know, the 150 sit-ups and chin-ups and, you know, lay in the water for 2 hours and then come out and sit in the freezing cold for 24 hours and survive that. And, you know, all the stuff they do is kind of extreme,
because,
you know what I mean? I don't...
Right. Yeah. And they're special. They got a special force that they need to go to do a specific job, and they are the ones, the elite. They are the top of the top. And the thing of is that those are Navy SEALs. The Marine Corps is the first to go in to fight, but the Marine Corps is the foot soldiers of the Navy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, women won't be on Navy SEALs, Delta Force, Green Berets, like stuff like that will stay too hard for them to pass the requirement.
Right.
It might be one who will be able to do it one day, you know, but that would be like such an anomaly, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, Brittany Griner or somebody, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah. Yep.
And see, and in that part, they don't have no sympathy because you're female. You got to meet the requirements.
You got to pass.
Because they have, you got to pass that to be able to know that person besides you can depend on you. You can't be going around saying, "Oh, it's my time of the month. I can't help you." No, that's not.
Okay.
See, it's a balance in nature, and the human nature is that, you know, you can't, these folks around here talking about they get artificial and they go, try doing what a woman does and an 8-pound baby coming out you. You ain't, you know, it hurts you, get constipated, try delivering an 8-pound baby out your rectum.
Right. That's painful.
Yes. Your body is designed biologically. We are who we are. Mentally, as some of the hormonal parts of it is, but biologically, this is what you are.
Now, I saw this week they had Dr. Umar Johnson, and he got into it on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, with this rapper. Female rapper named Sufiana, who's very nasty in her lyrics and the stuff she does, OnlyFans and porno and stuff like that. But she's a rapper from Florida. So he actually went and met with this girl, you know, and they got taking pictures together. And I'm looking at him like, bro, why would you do that? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Publicity.
Like, why do you want that publicity? You're supposed to be the prince of Pan-Africanism. You're okay with her behavior? Like, that's pretty much co-signing her behavior by him going out there to meet with her and giving her some validity, you know, which, you know, she just came back from the UK, walking around talking about she looking for a nigga to eat her ass and beat her pussy up and, you know, all this crazy stuff, and the people in the streets is looking at her like, oh, my God, did she just say that? You know, and just walking around the streets screaming all kinds of ratchetness with her nasty outfits. And they actually started a petition to get her beard from coming back, you know what I'm saying? But he want to go meet with her. And I'm thinking, yo, what, he can't be to this low. You know, what's she going to make a donation to his fake school? I mean, What is it that he, why would you fly on a plane to Miami to go meet with this girl? To do what? He's claiming he got a plan to save the hoes. I can't even believe this is happening in Black America, man.
Right, but I guarantee you, he didn't pay for that ticket.
No, I doubt he did.
Right, and see, it seems like all that is publicity. This is the way media works. If we could, and you are supposed to be a psychologist, and you're feeding into negativity, That's not a psychologist's job. You're supposed to be attending to see how you can help that sister. Ain't talking about publicizing or taking pictures with her to try to pump her up. What you're doing is you're feeding her ignorance.
Exactly. That's what I felt like. Like, why would he meet with her? Like, you know, you told her right. He told her right on Twitter. You're supposed to just ignore her ass after that. Yo, you bigger than that. But you fell for the women came after him. How dare you tell her she dresses good? She can act how she wants. So he started looking at his that's like the ministers, man. They start looking at their bottom line, and their bottom line comes from women who support them. Because who else is still giving this fool money? But some women he sweet talk. Back to what we was talking about earlier, Bev. People like to be sweet talk, man. No one can sweet talk you like Dr. Umar. He's man. He start repeating that stuff twice, and you know you start man.
But
this is
good.
Man.
The psychology. He knows.
Yeah.
Behavior psychology, and this is what he's trying. He was he was working in the school system. He knows behavioral psychology, and this is what he feeds off of. And the part of it is, what you doing this, but what about you when you was in, they caught you in the club putting money in these strippers?
And that's
that was just something, you know, that was, no. You supposed to be about the community and you supposed to be lifting up, but you out here putting money in G-strings.
And that's partly why he went there, too, because he was filling himself.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he went over
there
to see if he could get up in there.
Yeah.
You know, but I just watched a lot, man. I ain't had too much respect left for the brother, man. But, it's like, yo, you can't be this much of an attention whore, bro. Like, this is the type of attention you want. Like, all this to get a photo op with her. She don't even sell records, man. She sells sex. That's it. That's
right.
Why you watch
and
stuff.
That's what he's interested in. That's what he's interested in.
Yeah, it's like that. She's a porn star. She's posing as a rapper. You know what I'm saying? But
porn and
with 3-4 kids watching her.
Right. You're supposed to be talking about opening up the school and here kids are seeing you with this person. You trying to validate this and you tell them that that's a message to the child that you want to put in your school and say that this is okay because I seen you took pictures with her, so it's okay for me to grow up and be like this.
Yeah, man. It's
a mixed message.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's okay because, you know, Dr. Umar's okay with it, yeah, you know, and he talks all that Black Power stuff, and it's all right. Nah, I just disagree with him altogether on this one. It's like certain things, bro, he's bigger than, like, you're a big name within the Black community. I mean, like, it's no place I don't think that he's unknown with his Black people. Like, any city he goes to, he should be able to fill up a church with a congregation to listen to him speak about, you know, the plight of Black boys and the ADHD and all that stuff. I mean, he's really good explaining that stuff because he's a psychiatrist. But sometimes he do stuff that just, it's like, bro, what is your motives, man? Like, I know you need money for your school that you supposedly got, but, you know, like, you can't be this desperate, bro.
A lot of people have been seen through him, you know, because he had everybody going at first, and I was one of those too. He'd been on the show, and he talk a good talk, but you got to be able to talk it and walk it. So he can talk it good, but walking it is another thing. He put me in the mind of the preachers that talk that God talk. But then you catch them in the whole house.
Right.
Exactly.
So he's out on Saturday night, he in the club, and you see the preacher over the corner with some that ain't his wife over in the corner with him.
Yeah.
And then you go and see him standing up there at the pew, you know, trying to preach because he hung
over. he see you at the club. He like, girl, get off my lap. That's one of my people over there. You know, I want to do it with you. You know, so yeah, one of those, man. But I felt like that was disrespectful to our people, because we should not be condoning that. Like, I was talking earlier with somebody, elder brother, and I was telling him that, you know, it was once upon a time where it was certain things we just didn't do. We knew better than, you know what I'm saying? Right. And it's like we're in a time and period where anything goes. Like, everything that we know is wrong has been accepted as it's all right as long as, you know, we do it. You know, it's part of the culture. It's not part of the culture to be doing this stuff, you know. And I said, you know, last time we was really, like, you know, functioning properly. And as much as I hate to say it, is when we was all in church. You know, like, that was the last time where it was some type of humility.
We had some kind of morals.
Yeah, it's like all that stuff is out the window.
Right.
Well, Tyrone,
it's because we lost.
They told you that in Tyrone, in the movie Tyrone, that hypnotism.
Right.
The stuff you take and the things they're doing.
Yeah, it's definitely something up.
Right. And what we're seeing is that four things is missing out of the black community. Value, how do you value yourself? How, and morals, are you morally right with yourself? Respect, do you respect your brother's woman, child, just as your own? And ethics, we don't have any ethics no more. Once upon a time, a man's word was his bond. Now we say anything. Value, we don't value ourselves, and you show can't, if you don't value you show can't value a person. And are you morally right? No, because if that's immoral, if you see something that is immoral, it's wrong. You can't do you can't make wrong right. So it's wrong. And why are you going down there trying to feed it? It's because you lost your value. You don't respect your people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I believe you with the ethics, because it's like we definitely lack that ethical way of handling things.
Right.
And that causes a lot of the violence, is that people don't stand on what they say. And now when you even look at it, when you add social media to all of that, and you have these young kids who are saying stuff, beefing with people they don't even really know over stupid stuff on social media, not knowing this dude is coming to, when he see you, he's going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not taking this stuff serious, you know? And
right.
That's happening a lot, where people just, this internet is free people to just say whatever they want to say to whoever they want
to
say.
Because you don't have to.
And some people
ain't
clean, you know?
Right, because you don't have human contact. You got a machine that you talking to somebody in California, you can say and think, oh, yeah, they talk bad. But if you were standing in front of that person's face, or if you locked up in the same prison with that person, you ain't going to be so quick to jump bad. Because the only thing
exactly.
you have in prison and jail is respect. And if you disrespect somebody, they got to take you out, because that's all they got.
Exactly. And that's what these young boys, young people in general, but it affects the boys more, because men are more violent. And, you know, we're going to stand on that respect a lot more. And so you sitting here on the internet talking about this dude, thinking you ain't never going to see this dude, but then you bump into him. And we also have this saying back in my day was, say it in my face. You know what I'm saying? Once you,
right.
if you was bad enough to say it in their face, then it's a fight. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
that, they don't have any
and even,
decorum on that. Because their thing is, well, I was just playing, man. I was just playing. No, people
even,
ain't playing with you.
No, and the thing about it nowadays, that even if they do run across you, he got a gun in his waistband just like he's got a gun, because they can't fight hand to hand. They got to shoot. They got to have something else to do their decision for them. That's why we have so much killing, because you can't fight a man to man. You take the average part out there with guns, you put him with somebody in a ring by and say, hey, y'all, both of y'all, they can't handle that. They don't have the skills. It's easy to pull a trigger because, look at it, statistically, by the time a child reaches adolescence, he's been seen over 25,000 simulated murders on television and the games that they play. So he don't have no compassion because that's all he's been programmed. I'm reading this piece that they're doing on psychological media. Do you know that they form all of this CSI and all of this Law and Order? All of this is geared towards black people. They have a psychological gauge in which they use when they create things of media. They create it to go for a certain mentality because that's what they know that they can feed into and help them destroy themselves. They have a whole course in universities. They teach it on that.
You just said that's going to get worse because as we see that they're on strike. They're on strike right now. So the major movie houses, and it's not that many, right? You got Columbia Broadcast, which is Paramount. You got Universal, NBC. You got Disney, ABC, and Paramount's also CBS. It's only like five or six. You got Sony. It's one I'm missing. Warner Brothers, which is AT&T. So you got those big movie houses, right?
Yeah.
And right now they're saying, we don't need y'all writers, okay? We got this new thing. It's better than y'all. We could say, hey, we want to target teenagers between this age that are this demographic and this, that, or that. And out of that, and it's going to write a script for that targeted group based off of all the analytics and stuff without your input, right? So we don't need you.
Right.
So the actors step up and they say, you know what, we're going to stand with the writers, okay? We're going to strike too because we're not going to let them do you like this. And the movie houses are saying, you know what, we don't need y'all motherfuckers either, okay? So we already signed off the rights for us to use your images. All right, you already got the sequel coming out, so we don't need you to physically be in this movie. We could just recreate it without you. And now when you start seeing stuff being written now, going forward, so what they decided to do in the meantime is they're going to triple down on reality TV, which we already know is crippling black people, right? Reality TV. Because they don't need a writer for that. It's no script. It's just people acting a damn fool, right? And you don't got to pay that much for it, and they're not actors. They're not. They don't got no SAG credits or anything, so they're not breaking no strike. So you're just paying regular people to act a fool. So they triple down on reality TV. But once they get this stuff all back in line, they're going to start telling this AI to write movies specifically to target, you know, the black demographic is, you know, and they're not going to have it's not going to have the same mindset of a human, right? Because a human might say, oh, we can't really go this far with it, but the AI is going to go that far with it, you know, and that sensitivity unit that, you know, when there's a person
that humanness,
it's going to be gone. So they're going to depict us how they want it. So, you know, you're going to have to be a gay chimpanzee to play this part. You know, like, it's going to get to that. So I was just saying, like, this whole strike with the you saw it also happening with it was supposed to be with the couriers, right? UPS was going on strike. UPS was going on strike because they don't need them, okay? They got their robots to work the warehouses. They only need y'all to deliver the package now. And the airplanes fly themselves. They don't need the pilots, you know? So You had that strike going down. FedEx was going to go on strike too to double down because the AI and computers and robotics is taking their job. Now you see the truckers about to go on strike. You just saw Yellow, the truck company Yellow, went out of business today. That was 40,000 truckers out of jobs. And I told you, the trucking business was the first business to get automated. It's the first one.
Right.
It's the biggest business in the country. Go ahead, bro.
Right. That and the railroad. See, this is the part of how does the commodities of our consumerism move? That's what they're looking at. What move? Yeah, we got technology to sell it. But how do we get it to point A to point B? We need to have these people in place to do this. And the thing what always used to be the joke that we knew, I worked for FedEx for 23 years. And the joke was is that UPS got a bank account waiting for FedEx to sell because they going to merge it together and call it Fed Up. But the part for it was is that Fred Smith had an idea. And even when Fred Smith made the money that he made with FedEx, him and Fred Barksdale, once they seen that we could put in technology when they created the fax machine and was going to use it with making same-day delivery, he took the money that he made and started Netscape because he seen what technology was getting ready to do. And they computerized. This is why FedEx was so popular, because they computerized their delivery system where UPS didn't. They came in later. But the part of it was UPS has the country's largest employees of workers, any union in the country. And they knew that when the railroad said they were going on strike, that would cripple the country because everything moves by rail and come off the rail and goes into the truck. Trucks is the person that has to deliver people to people, product to people. And this is what they know. They're going to have to use, yeah, you can create all of this technology, but you still got to have a human factor in there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. But what you said about the writers is because you've been telling us about ChatGPT. That's what they can do. They don't need a writer. All they got to do is say, here, this is what we want to do. And ChatGPT will write up scripts for them. You got the image. All you got to do is get the computer to make your avatar and make your movie.
Exactly. Yep. All they gotta do is put it in the green screen and work the magic that way. And you can see that in the movie with played a younger version of himself trying to kill the older version of himself. He was like the world's greatest assassin, so they knew the only way they could kill him was with him. So they had a younger version of him. It looked like the Fresh Prince, Will Smith. You know what I'm saying? But that was a total other person in a green suit running around with him. That wasn't him. They just put him on top of that green suit person. Now that person in the green suit, he's not an actor, so therefore they could hire him to play the part of Will Smith. You know, so they're gonna hire regular people to play the parts of actors. They're just gonna run around in a green outfit all day, sweating to death, you know, in a green hazmat looking suit.
Right. And you said the other part, reality TV. You know what was the pivotal point for reality TV? Jerry Springer. He said, let's see how these folks act if we let them just come on TV and just act the way they want to act. And what did they do? It's a total
that was a little bit scripted, though. I think that was like scripted. To me, the pinnacle where it hit to the modern day reality TV was Flavor Flav. When Flavor Flav came out with the show where he was with the white girl, Bridget Nielsen, from Rocky. Rocky IV, she was the girlfriend of the Russian guy. He was the Russian girl, the tall, blonde, Hey, dog, she used to be a supermodel, but now she's all old and cleaned up. And she with Flavor Flav, and they in love. And it was called, I forget the name of the show, but she would call him Foofy, my Foofy. And they had about four seasons with that, and they broke up on TV, and then they came out with him looking for a new girlfriend, so they had the Flavor of Love. Where he had all the girls lined up. Now, that's the beginning of the modern day. You had these women in the house, 20 of them. They had all competing. They're going to all dress a little bit more sexy than the other one and fill it a house up with alcohol and just let them fight over Flavor Flav. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That became what is Love is Hip Hop, Real Housewives, all of that came out of that concept. You know what I'm saying? Jerry Springer is more the reality too. Like, I would say he's the precursor to Maury Povich with the real people coming up there to see if they pregnant or not. You know what I'm saying? If the baby daddy is him or not, you know, and that type of stuff. But what we see now with the sexual, the way they depict our women on these shows, it starts with the Flavor of Love, that Flavor Flav thing. That blew it up. Like, this is acceptable because these girls became stars, even though he didn't pick them. After they were done on the show, they getting booked for clubs. They get $15,000 to do a walkthrough in the club, and they became stars off of this show. And it was like, these girls, you know, they became stars. I could do it too. I'm prettier than her. And then everyone starts going. So he had about five seasons of Flavor of Love. Each one of them brought out all these girls, and all these girls went on to have other careers and other reality shows. And, it, you know, and that's kind of like the precursor to it all.
Yeah. You know, technology has it. Go ahead, Bear.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was saying technology has its good points as far as finding and disseminating information and giving us opportunities to learn some of the things that if we fact check it and see if things are true, then we can utilize that. But in making that decision of deciding what's true or what's not true, and then the part of what is going to be real in the world for our children, because this is dangerous.
But when you think about, right, the conscious community, right, it wasn't as big as when I first started getting into it. It wasn't as big as it got. What made it big was really reality TV, because you would watch Sarnetta, and he would be on 125th Street, standing there. He got red pill and blue pill and polite, and Umar might pop up, or Phil Valentine might pop up, and you got all of that, and it was like a reality. You watch every day to see these guys arguing, you know, that they're going to go, oh, we're going down to the Hebrews table today to argue with the Hebrews, and you would be tuned in every day to see what they was going to do. That's reality TV. So that was a way that it was good. Spread the message to people who never would have got into this stuff. They started watching that, especially the young people. Like, that was these dudes standing outside arguing, and that was right up their alley, you know what I'm saying? Even though there wasn't no fight at the end of it, but they was getting into these heated arguments over history, and it got people into it. You know, it got people to start, yo, let me look into this stuff to see if it's true or not. And so that's a way that the reality TV actually is a way that a lot of people came together. You know what I'm saying? Because they would have never known about these scholars if they didn't have that whole little thing on YouTube for about two summers. Where they just go out in front of Mark 125, which ain't there no more, and just had the, because I would always see Sarnetta in them, they had the slave posters up. So when you walk past them, they had all the pictures hanging on the wall of lynched black people, or hanging from trees. It just made you like, it was like, damn, that shit struck a nerve, like, damn. And then you want to hear what they were saying. And they'll be out there talking, and they're selling their little stuff. And, you know, you buy a couple of shea butters and, you know, incense, and, you know, and then it kind of became a thing. But that whole little thing that they had for that little bit of time was all recorded and shown on YouTube, so you got to see it like a reality show. Unscripted, real-life people doing what they do in their real life, you know, and, you know, then they, you know, everyone became like little stars off of it and wanted to do their own channel because he was making all the money and, you know, that whole thing broke up. But, yeah.
But and that's a good point. But the thing that I look at, you remember the movie The Great Debate with Denzel Washington, and when they debated Harvard, and the Wiley College was one of the great debate teams of the HBCUs. This is what I'm seeing that was going on the street corners, and that was going on, and we would in Chicago when we had, you know, Dick Gregory and all of these ones coming out here and giving us the information and sitting down and telling us where to find this information, what to read and how to do this. That was the part of passing on that information and listening. I used to watch it when here in Atlanta, when Leonard Jeffries and Naeem Akbar and Dr. Clark and all of the elders, Asa and all of them used to go and do speaking in the different places in the community, was a part of getting that information. Yeah, you could be out there on the street corners and debating, but the part of it is that you get the audience where you can be able to give them, disseminate, give them some information so they can go home and research and do it, because a lot of times people get there and you hear these debates and that it was all good at the moment, and then after you leave away from there, you ain't got nothing else that to work on, because people are not going to do the work. Some of the people are not going to do the work. They just wait to the next debate, or they buy the tape.
Yeah, they was buying a lot of tape back then.
Yeah, VHS, the mm-hmm. the cassette tapes, all of it was selling. People would give a lecture, and they have a person back there with a machine that's duplicating the lecture that he just talked about, and the tapes is ready when they come off the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was interesting how these guys, you know, they came to different cities and you go and you know, listen to them live, just like going to a concert, listening to music, right. But you'd be listening to the information.
Right. Steve Coakley, you know, coming in town, mm-hmm. and then having that, you know, Brother X. Brother X was doing it in Chicago. You know, they had these mm-hmm. circles. What was the place up there, the slave something in New York where everybody used to go to?
Yeah, National Slave Theater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, now people don't have to leave their computer. They don't have to leave their hand because they can look at it on the phone.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it. Like, that was like, being that it was in your hand, in your phone, and on a YouTube, like, people could go back and listen, you know, again, or go back to that part, you know, and, you know, oh, they said that. Let me go look that up, you know. I think it sparked a lot of what the modern-day conscious community is, you know, like, but it got people involved, and that was all done through that medium of making it like a reality. I don't think they went out intending to do it like that, but that's how it turned out. And it actually was successful. You know, the problem is that the money got involved, you know. Once YouTube started cutting checks. Uh-huh. Go ahead, boy.
The Conscious Awards they just had yesterday down in Florida. Billy Carson, Umar was there. They gave him recognition. They had what they call the Black Consciousness Award.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I remember Sarnetta had one in New York. I don't know if that's the same affiliation or whatever. But I hate Black awards. It's like, what are we awarding ourselves for, bro? None of us have been successful at stopping this damn problem we have, you know what I'm saying? What do we, you know, why don't we reward each other when we did something, you know? Well, you know, I just of it award, you know. I prefer rewards than awards, you know, like, you know, you did good, you get a reward, not an award, you know, that's, to me, it's just, I don't know, it's just patting yourselves on the back, you know, feeding into your own egos, instead of like, let's get the shit done first, let's get our people to a certain point and then award ourselves for it, but we still,
right,
all messed up, you still ain't got it to school, you still ain't did, no one did the stuff they said they was going to do yet. And we awarding each other just for good talk. You know what I'm saying? It's just, to me, like, it shows, like, they ain't serious about trying to fix the problem. That's what it shows, like, because I can't
but
see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But it seems like these guys and females, they get people to thinking. It's almost kind of like you're walking around, you know, in the days or the living dead, and then you hear one of these people lecture and they spark something, you know, they activate
mm-hmm.
something, and they kind of get your thinking to broaden, you know, because I know I was thinking a certain way, and then I started hearing these guys talking, and then I started reading books, because I used to go to Bobby Hemmings and all of them. And I started buying books. I wasn't thinking about, you know, those kind of books. But it sparked something in you.
And that's absolutely what we're, yeah, and it has its good parts, because I said you can go to these conferences and you hear people speaking. And the thing that you're doing is you hearing them talking, but the thing that you have to look at is that I learned is that when you start talking about something, give the person the book that you found it in. Give
yeah.
them part of it. Just give them a bit and say, here, you can read this book, read this. You can find information on this, because that way it gives them tools to go seek for themselves. But if you just
yeah,
talking
I,
and you regurgitating, that don't help a lot.
Yeah, that's why I kind of like the way they do this beast now, where they use the whiteboard, the smart board, so they could pull up their PowerPoint and put it up on the stage while they're giving their presentation. So they're showing you where they're getting the information from, and they can give you the pictures and everything else that's in the illustrations and stuff that's in the book, so you can kind of see they're trying to prove their point. But now it's not just you talking. Now you got to show where you got it from, because that
right.
tool is available. So you can't go up there against someone who's showing everything and you just gonna run your mouth. Like, you gotta be able to show all the stuff you're proving too. So it kind of makes it a little bit better, you know. Like, you know, you can see where they get their reference points from.
You know who's doing that too, and that's the way I do mine, because I use PowerPoint when I do my presentation. Whatever I'm creating, I'm going to put it in a PowerPoint along with all the information, and then I bring the books with me. The part that I'm looking mm-hmm. at, or you give them the website, because I always put the website of what the information I got this from. I got this off of this site. I got this just like you read, and just like Dr. X, my brother X reads. He's telling you, what website did you get this from? Where did this information come? So the person will have an opportunity to seek for himself to continue the flow of information into them. And the part mm-hmm. that I've seen is, you know, Aline Bay?
Yes.
Aline Bay.
Yeah, I heard.
Now doing his, because he used to, you know, just talk about his presentation. Now he's using the PowerPoint and creating. This is the way that we're going to have to do. Use this technology to be able to disseminate, but give the people enough to say that you can go on your computer and you can find this on this YouTube. You can find this on this website. You can go here and look up this information. So these are the tools that this is how we're able to use technology. This is what I call techno-spiritual work. Because
even with the smart board, you can just, like, whatever's on your laptop just pops up on the smart board. So you could go to the website, like, right in front of everybody. You know, you could pull up the YouTube and play it right in front of everybody. So it makes it a lot better. Like the last debate I saw, I was like impressed by the, because I was expecting the it was the Hebrew Israelites against a Kemetic brother, and I wasn't expecting the Israelites to really have anything but a Bible. But they actually came with some stuff. Like, oh, they do some good research over there. They was coming out with some stuff and they pulling it up. And I was like, damn, they might have had this little battle here. You know, but it's so much better now with that smart board or whatever they call it. So I think it's called the smart whiteboard. But you could pull up the web pages, you could pull up the videos and all that stuff right in front of everybody. So nobody can say that you didn't prove, you know, show your references or whatever. It's right there. A little bit, plus you can also do the PowerPoint right there, because you just go to the PowerPoint on your computer and it'll show that. So you can do all of that together in one little, session. And if you're good with it, you know, moving from this to that to that to this, you can get more information in there in a short period of time, which is the Hebrews was really good at closing a point out and getting to the next thing. You know what I'm saying? I guess they used to read in that Bible and quoting verse after verse. So they did. I thought they did a pretty good job. And they was going, I think it might have been they going against Jabari or one of them heavy hitters with the Kemetic stuff. Right. And they tore him apart with the information. Like, damn, they proving everything they saying. You know, but yeah, man, it's a lot that can be done with it.
And that's what I'm saying. It's a tool for doing our techno-spiritual work. Yeah, we use this, but then we also need to come together where we can say, okay, we're going to have a conference over here where we'll have the Hebrews, the Kemetics, the 5%, whatever group wants to come. And then you come and you make your presentation of what knowledge you want to share with the people and give them an opportunity to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because when you go, you know, like I say, I always bring my shovel and my broom, and I take what I need, and what I don't take it.
Because I was taught, you go to a lecture, you take and a red pen on your legal pad, a tape recorder, and your camera. Because you tape what's going on, you make notes, and you take pictures, because you will never get people to present the same way twice when they're lecturing.
Mm-hmm.
They might know the same, but they're going to give it a different energy that you will capture in that one moment that you get, or you get that one picture that's a lifetime, because you will capture something at that moment. And this is the way I would show how to go about and getting information.
Mm-hmm. Now, I never had the camera, but I did always bring my tape and my pad.
Yep. I can capture the moment of
mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I'm seeing a lot of the young people here too. You know, like the old heads, as they say, you know, Bobby and Valentine, all them, and all the old guys. Now I'm seeing the younger guys are coming in and they knowing what they're talking about too.
But what is happening is that if we can help share them, then we get an opportunity to pass on, you know, what Bobby was talking about and playing his old tapes. I've got cassettes. I've got VHS of the elders that are no longer here. Dick Gregory, you got Dr. Clark, Asa, Naeem Akbar, Francis Crest Wilson. It's to convert them from digital, what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm. But it also seemed like
that's what YouTube did. They took all those VHSs and uploaded them to digital, to YouTube. So that's how You got the, all those Phil Valentine and Bobby Hemmett and Velvet Blair and Dr. York and all these lecturers with their long lectures and stuff on YouTube at one place at one time. And then that feedback loop. So once you watch one, they suggest the next one. And then, so that really, I think nothing pushed the conscious movement more than YouTube, because that was how I came across a lot of people. Because I was watching a lot of Phil Valentine, and one day, and Bobby Hemmett, and one day it suggested Velvet Blair. You talk about the moon, and it's a ding in it. And I'm just stacking like, this dude is, I wrote his name down, and then I wrote his name in the YouTube search, and all these other things started popping up. So I started watching him too. And it, kind of led you into other people, So all that to say is like that technology spread this message around further than I say around the time, might have been around 2008, 2009 when it really like got big, really started to spread, on YouTube. And then people started putting new stuff on there, like videos you never saw before would just pop up on there, And, like somebody like Kwame, who might have a bunch of lectures that no one else has, he puts them on YouTube on his channel. Now everyone got access to those lectures. It just spread like that, And that was actually, man, I think when they look back at it, if we ever wake up and this stuff works, they gonna have nobody to blame but themselves, because y'all spread it with that YouTube, To this day, you still find it all on YouTube. You can go back, and some stuff they tried to take off, the one of them with Bobby was talking about the Atlanta child murders. Like, it was hard to find that one on YouTube now. That used to pop right up. But now you gotta go way deep into the algorithm to get it. Because he was talking about the chemicals they was extracting from the body and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was on point.
Right, because they were taking the testosterone out of the youth, and that's the highest form of hormones. And Wayne Williams, and they were proving it, that wasn't
not
him.
Testosterone.
Yet.
It was another, a pheromone. I got it written down somewhere, but a pheromone.
Okay.
It's like the same thing like when the rabbi, right, they circumcise the baby with their teeth, right?
Take
the foreskin and bite it off, and that foreskin is filled up with that chemical. And they, they get a high off of that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think it's called a pheromone, something like that. It's in the tip of the penis, the only place on the body it exists. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he was breaking all that science down. And then I'm looking it up in my Britannica encyclopedia. It's like, oh, shit, he's right. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, damn, So, yeah, but he was putting it all with the Atlanta childhood. It's hard to find that Bobby Hemmett, bro. And that's like a six-hour lecture,
Because I know right now his wife, the one that's there, because he's still... he's not able to talk, and he's paralyzed on one side. And she's shut him down from people who were coming there visiting, because people were still trying to come there and get information for him and get the old tapes that he has there. And even his family, his brothers and them was coming there trying to help him, because she's got him on lockdown. I had a sister that was taking care, doing massages and putting him in the wheelchair and rolling him outside so he can get sun in the backyard, but she kind of cut that out. Didn't want
A lot of people say, a lot of people were saying that, she was the infiltrator.
Yeah, and that's what they believe now, is that she was part of it, because he was dropping too much information, and they knew that he had put out something that wasn't supposed. And they had to stop him.
Yeah. But he didn't want to do media. He kept saying I don't want to do media, but he was kind of pushed into it.
Come and do talks, and then people start recording him, and that's what really got it, because people start recording him, and they start making the VHS tapes and putting them on there and selling his VHS tapes. When you go to his lecture, you be there for 2 or 3 hours just hearing him talk, and he would.
You gonna be there 6-7 hours? We used to be up all night. And then don't go to after he keep you for 5-6 hours at the lecture, then he gonna be at somebody's house, and it'd be a group of people that can go to that house, and he gonna keep you up the rest of the night with more information. So it was like an all night thing.
He was a walking set of encyclopedias inside of that body, you know.
Yes. Yeah. And I know in 2008, like you said, Tutmos, around that time, 2008, he didn't want to do Truth to Power, because that's what he kept saying. He did it, but he was like, I don't want to do media. But like you said, Kwame, people was putting his stuff out there anyway, so he might as well, you know, just came and did it.
Yeah, because Al Lena Childhood Murders, he was like, that's where they invented crack cocaine. They experimented on these young boys, and they saw that it bonded with the dopamine and the melanated people. And, you know, that's when they decided they was going to put it in California. He was breaking down some serious information.
I remember that.
Way before stuff became mainstream, way before Snowfall and Freeway Ricky got released and told the story, like, way before all of that, putting it all together. But his thing was they created it in the CDC lab in Atlanta, Georgia, and they were experimenting on them black boys and how that guy didn't do it. That guy didn't kill the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the other part, too, is, you know, when I was in Vietnam, and that was where the Ho Chi Minh Trail was, and this is where you had 98% pure heroin was being moved, and you could buy a vial. You couldn't shoot it, you couldn't snort it. But what you did was, this is where they found out, when you burn the chemical, the relief, but it goes quicker. First time I hit Skag, I passed out in the bar. All I did was...
Now, what is Skag? Is that the heroin?
Heroin.
Okay.
Called it back in the day. It was called Skag.
Yeah, that's what we called it in Jersey. That's Skag,
yeah.
And see, the Skag, you turn around, not pure. All you do is you take the tobacco off the tip of your cool, and you take a fingernail file or take your nail if you had a lot, and you just drop and fill up the tip of that and do it, and you roach it just like you do a roach when you got spinning smoking the herb. You take a roach and you put it in the cigarette. You did the same thing with the Skag, and this is how brothers was getting hooked over there.
Yeah, now the heroin business, unlike the cocaine business, heroin spoils after a few days. If you deal with it, you know, they take a lot of losses if they don't sell it when they bag it up. I'm sure you know, Kwame. So what they're doing is, with a lot of the spoiled dope, to keep so they can still sell it, they're putting the fentanyl in it. And that's when you get all these overdoses, because, you know, saying that they can't sell the dope because it ain't strong enough. You know, it lost its potency. So they put a little of that fentanyl in it to give it its... But one hit of that fentanyl could kill you. You know, just take a little trace of it, you know. So that's what's happening a lot with these, especially these white people dying everywhere, overdosing like crazy. Our people too, but, you know, we not nearly as... They keep a lot of that shit hidden, bro. Ooh, these white people are dying. Like, I think last year, more people died from heroin overdoses than the whole Vietnam War. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's bad, and that ain't us, you know. Like, it's them. And, you know, they all got hooked on this stuff through pharmaceutical forms of painkillers. And
right.
When Dr. Weldon was still alive, she was on a show I was on, and she was talking about how black people don't qualify for pain medication. And she had this doctor who told her that, you know, he not hardly ever prescribes pain medication for his black patients who have the same exact ailment as his white patients, because they were taught in school that black people have a higher tolerance for pain. So he said, so we're not going to give them the good stuff. So either way, that theory that they have, it ended up getting them all hooked up, you know what I'm saying, more so than us. Because you wouldn't have prescribed that Oxycontin to us for that, you know what I'm saying, you wouldn't have gave that to us. So they get strung out on it. And now that they can't afford the pill, they're going to go to the next best thing, which is the dope on the street. And then they ended up, you know, shooting up and stuff like that. But it starts with them from the pills, the Oxycontin, the Tylenol number fours and number threes. And, you know, they just develop a dependency. And once you run out of their prescriptions, you know, they got to get it, you know, from the corner, because that's the next thing that's going to keep them from getting sick, is, you know,
right.
the actual dope. So they did this to their own people. You know what I'm saying? They did
right.
this to their own people.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Beth.
I want to let somebody else on to the table. 323-207. 323.
Better love, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Better love.
Better love.
What's going on, family? How y'all doing?
Good.
Good, bro.
You have a question
how you today?
Or a comment?
Good. I just wanted to add to the Mount Taylor.
Okay.
Just piggybacking what you were referring to right now, Tutmos. I mean, that's divine intervention. That's the cracker karma for, you know, not even direct what they did to us. So, I mean, for the divine retribution to be on their ass at this time, you know what I mean? That's just the size of the pond. But I think the European, the real cracker, that you know, the one in Europe, they'll sacrifice all these crackers over here. Because they look at these like they, you know, pilgrims or whatnot. You know, they're not really the real. They ain't going back and forth to Europe. Like, they don't really even recognize these white folks over here. They all trailing apart trash to the real system. You know what I'm saying? So,
but what
I
find about the black? What about the black from over there that looked like us, that they were, was part of the takeover or whatever happened
the more
over
stability.
Here. Right.
It's all the same game. That's that black face. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? That white
yeah.
supremacy in black face. You know what I'm saying? So even like for example, with the LeBron and his son ritual that's taking place, I mean, that's live and direct what you're saying. He's one of our more esteemed, but he got that cracker state of mind that he's willing to sacrifice his own genetic line, you know what I mean, for that system. So it's crazy. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to tell you, you know that word cracker has an origin?
I don't know, but it sounds, I didn't know that, but
it actually is white people from the lowlands of Europe, England, of the UK or Britain, whatever they called the island at that time, that they lived in the lowlands. If you look it up in the 1828, it's a noisy, boisterous fellow. So noisy, rowdy, ass white people. That's a cracker. You know what I'm saying? And those are the people. Those are the people who ran the plantations with these people. Noisy ass white people, boistering, running around drinking. You know what I'm saying? And that's who, unfortunately, we acting like today, just like two motherfuckers. We ain't cracker culture. This is cracker culture. What you see, this is how they act. Acted before, you know, they got some act right. You know, it was just like, you know, anything goes. You know, that's why they were so brutal slavery. You know what I'm saying? But cracker and redneck. Redneck also is a word from England. It describes the same exact people.
Right. But what he's saying is true, because white people was created here in the 1600s is when they took the indentured servant, the Irish and all of those poor serfs that came here as servants and indentured. They had to after Bacon's Rebellion, they had to change the law and says, okay, you're not an Anglo-Saxon. You're not of royal blood, but you are a person that look like us. So we're going to give you, as we calling you, white people to be over these black and red people that are uprising so you can help protect us. That's where you got white people from.
Mm-hmm.
There was
absolutely right.
As white people until here.
Yeah, until Bacon's Rebellion, absolutely.
You always identified by your country.
Nationality, yep. In the language.
But I thought
right.
that I heard that the native that was here called white. That's what they call the original people. No?
It's a class.
Well,
it's a
I've
right,
heard that
class.
From
not
white
the
and
color,
lore.
Not the color, but the class.
Yeah,
right.
That class is called W-I-G-H-T. White. You know what I'm saying? Which also is in the 1820 dictionary, which is a being, a person. That's what white meant. A being, a person. It's obsolete
right.
today, though. So they were right. actual people. They were persons. You know, they were white. W-I-G-H-T. A slave wasn't a person. You know what I'm saying? So that's where they got that from. But it's not the color, like you said, because the color thing came later. That came, when they created the laws and all that stuff, and they took color law, you know. Because when you look up the definition of black, it's a criminal. It's a calamitous person. You know what I'm saying? It's not an upstanding person. This is every definition for black is going to tell you something negative. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's by design. If we call ourselves black, then we're going to act like we are black. Negative. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
A lot of times they don't go by
it's a spell.
They don't go by the definition in the dictionary. You got the law, and that's a whole different terminology. They have it on the form today. It's an 810 form that has white on there, and it tells you, you know, that they're from Africa and things. Like you say, it's the status. They're not talking about color.
Right, because you,
it's
you
an
810
form.
Right, you look at Elon Musk. Elon Musk is an African,
mm-hmm.
but he's white. But he was born in South
mm-hmm.
Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But his parents took him to Canada and got him a Canadian citizenship. But and that's what he called. But his birthland was South Africa. So what you're looking at is how they define human beings, and this is the whole thing
mm-hmm.
in which the Darwin. And all of these anthropologists came up with this concept because they took the first and made them last and made the last become first. Because that's like Tut was saying, Francis Cress Wilson said, they have a recessive gene. They're nothing but our aberrant children. They're just a defective African.
You know what reminded me of what's taking place? It's always one of my favorite theories to mention, which is the Man in the High Castle. that you know, Brother Robert Anderson always a reference. But get back to what you was talking about earlier as far as the, with that bio lab that was found in California. Now, I deliver out here for UPS, sir. And all I'm delivering to out here in the valley of Southern California is by Chinese warehouses. Or in the sense that the Chinese, you know, they moving they Chinese products throughout all these warehouses out here. So, you know, that when I saw that biolab in Northern California, I wasn't surprised because that's all I'm dealing with working these, you know, delivering to these warehouses is they either owned by Chinese and they got that, and they got the Hispanics working in the warehouse, or, you know what I'm saying, they some type of foreigner, you know what I'm saying, but I rarely see our people owning any type of warehouse and dealing with any type of product or whatever that, you know, that I'm coming across. So I just find it interesting, that series where the whole West Coast was Japan, was, you know, was controlled under the Asians, and the whole East Coast was controlled by the Nazis, the Jews. So it's like,
I remember that show. Do you remember a show called V?
M-E?
No, it was called V, just the letter V.
The movie?
Okay.
It was a
called V about Britain.
It did it. It was a movie, and it was a television series. So it came off for about like 8 seasons, 10 seasons. When I was a little kid, it came on. It was these aliens had taken over the United States, and they were at all levels of government. But they would peel their skin off, and they'll be reptiles. You know what I'm saying? But they all had the same like pristine look, blonde hair, blue eyes. You know, and they would. But they would peel their skin, and then they would have this green reptile skin. That was like the big. But y'all don't remember that show, V?
Yeah, I remember V. Mm.
No, I can't say
that.
Like
yeah, this was well.
Ooh,
this was out probably like 84, 85.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
yeah, it was called V.
Sorry. I'm about to go back and
peep that. It was a whole series, man. They took over the government, and they all had, like, blue eyes, blonde hair. They were all, like, Nordic looking. But when they took their eyes, like, out, you had the reptile eyes, and they peeled their skin. So you never knew if you was dealing with a human or a reptile, you know what I'm saying?
Seems like that's what's going on today. I have somebody
exactly.
else that wants to join the round table. 618-660.
618. Hey,
brother
D. Hey, how's it going? Brother D. St. Louis.
Peace, brother.
Okay, St. Louis. Hey, how everybody doing? I just wanted to comment on what Chuck Moss was talking about, the V. It was a lady. She was the head alien. Well, reptilian in charge of the whole thing. And they got off by eating rats. They like to eat mice and rats. You know, so.
Exactly. They would put the whole year, yup.
Yeah, it was real good. And that's what we, you know, it seems like we're witnessing that right now with just, you know, everything the way it is. You know, it's not, it's like everything's out of whack right now. And we really don't know what we're dealing with. You know, because, you know, with how history is, it's a lot of stuff that we don't know about. It's supposedly known, but it's all taboo, you know what I'm saying? Until, especially when it's coming out of a black person's mouth, you know what I'm saying, to a certain degree. It's like we caught up on spooky stuff, but I don't think so, you know what I'm saying, to a certain degree we is, you know, through the church stuff, but in real reality, we do, you know, see stuff, and we you know, we are part of the whole system too. So that's why I want to comment.
Is it mind manipulation or is it real?
Oh, it's real. It's real. Some people like to be manipulated and played with. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you know, I look at just different levels of how the neighborhood is. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the hood. I don't consider myself nowhere else but from what they so-called the hood, and you got everything in there. I don't care what they say, not there, everything is right there in the hood, and you learn from it. And that's what I've got out of it. It's a little bit of everything. People like to manipulate their own self. You got mothers that manipulate their own kids. You know what I'm saying? So you got some parents that teach their kids to be dumb. I'm saying I think that in the hood. You know, so they never want their kids to learn nothing, so they always can be right there for them. You know, so you know, we do it to ourselves. It ain't more so just you know, just the government. We fall for it ourselves.
Right, but that's what hey, Brother D, and how's it going?
Hey, how you doing that, Brother Kwame?
All right. Yeah, but what you're saying is correct, because the thing that it really is called entertainment, but it's really to enter and detain you from letting out what's in you. Distractions and the psychological, I was just speaking with Tut earlier, saying that I'm reading this piece on the media psychology that they teach.
That's what
this
I'm talking
course.
About.
The media psychology, they teach this course on how that they have a certain level that they focus on, law and order, you know, CSI, all of these certain type of programs are geared for a certain type of entertainment. Just like when they came out with Cops, Bad Boys, everybody was singing the darn song because they saying, okay, look, we getting ready to come bust in your dough, and we gonna let you watch how we gonna do this. So you ain't going to have no problem with us when we come and do it. Psychologically training.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're doing with using mm-hmm. entertainment. And the media is the best way to get, because what's the first thing we do with our children? Go in there and watch TV. Go in there and watch TV, because you have this electronic babysitter that you turn on cartoons and you turn on this, and you wonder why they're not perceiving and learning anything, instead of saying, go in there and read a book in your room, because you don't have no library for your child in their room. Because once upon a time, they don't have it now, you have to scroll through. But once upon a time, when you bought the Sunday paper, what's the first thing besides looking at the comic strip that people want to look at? TV Guide. They had to look at the TV Guide to see what programming they wanted to put into themselves.
And
I remember that. I remember that book. I remember getting that big Sunday paper and first.
Yeah.
What a TV Guide at?
Yeah.
You know, certain people.
Yeah,
you know, cool. Different people around the house. That's the first thing.
And
that
was the part.
You. Yeah. They call it programming. They tell you what they do.
Right, the program. That's what they call it. The pro. I want to see my program. Or what did the older women say? I want to see my story.
Yeah.
Now it don't work like that anymore, right? Because television is an older medium, right? So
it's not television.
People my age is probably the last people that actually watch television programming. Right, youth, the younger people don't. They choose what they want to see. They watch YouTube, they watch TikTok, you know, that
social
stuff.
Social media.
Netflix, Hulu.
I can't stand flicking through that stuff. That stuff makes me sleepy. And it just drive you into a whole nother zone. Your mind be just like,
yeah.
Until you find,
yeah.
You can never find the right thing. I figured that out with regular TV. You can never find the right thing because it's all a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, but what you did, you got to look. But you got to look at something. We called it television because it had a big tube and it had tubes in it, and you were able to use antenna control the reception and what it did. Then it came out with flat screens. Then they came out with what? Plasma. And most smart TVs are plasma television. Where do you get plasma from? Blood. So what they're doing is that they get into the cellular level of the human by putting this plasma television 62 inches, 122 inches, filling up a whole wall because all of that radiation is going into your body.
Mm-hmm. And don't go to sleep with it on.
It's program. It'll have you dreaming what's on the screen.
Yeah.
But see, now the program is different, right? Because you pick your programming. So now you don't have to go get the paper and find out, you know, what's coming on at 8 o'clock on Saturday. Now you just type in what you want to see. I want to see this. And it'll pop
but
up all episodes.
But it was the same way.
You know, back in the days, it was programming, right? So if I wanted to watch the Dukes of Hazzard, I had to wait until the time the Dukes of Hazzard came on, you know. And if I wanted to watch it again, I had to put a VHS tape in there, copy it, and then I had a copy of it, right? But what I'm saying now with Hulu or Netflix, you just type in Dukes of Hazzard and every episode comes up. Now you choose what you want to see. They're not choosing the episode you see for you, right? Now you can see whatever episode you want to see. You know, and that's the different program. That's the new programming where they're making you think you're doing it on your own. Now you think you have, they put so many of the choices in front of you that you think you have free choice, but you still don't. You know what I'm saying? Because they only giving you those choices so they can collect the metadata and see what you chose. They want to know more about you. So
right.
That's where all the collection of data and stuff. So when you're going through the Netflix, right, if I want to watch a show on Netflix, let's just say when the brand new season of Black Mirror came out, they don't let you wait a week to see the next one. They put all the episodes up there the first day. Ooh, you can watch the whole thing in 10 hours if you want to. You know,
binge.
You could binge on it. Now, by you binging on it, they got you for all those hours to collect data from you. You know what I'm saying? To see... Oh, okay, they like this show, and people who like this show fit this certain profile, and, you know, let's see what else they watch. So now that you fit that profile, they collected that data, now you watch something else. So now they can collect data from you to say, okay, you like this and that, let's recommend this to that person. Maybe this will work for, you know, and it's that same concept. It's all data collection.
Right, because even when you go on there, it says, because you watch this, you might like this. It already selects what is in the field on their channel that you may like to watch because you watch Black Mirror, so you might like this, or you might like this, or you might like. So what they're doing is trying to see how selective, how right are they in the selection, what you're looking at. The thing that I'm saying with this, you got 500 channels at that's the least, because some of them got 9. You couldn't watch a channel a day and still you wouldn't be able to watch everything on that television. If you just watch one channel every day, you could not watch it for 365 days to finish that whole program system.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, wasn't that Netflix when that stuff started by the military for the people that was over in those at Kuwait in that war? They came up with that stuff so they can have something to watch, but at the same time it was to do the study.
Yeah, and so they could send it by satellite so they could keep up with what's going on in the community back home.
Yeah, for the binge watching. That's where the binge watching, and what they got that from the military guy. You know, they were seeing how they was reacting to it.
Yo, Kelmo, what about XRP? because they recently had a ruling that went through or whatever. So what does that ruling mean for the crypto game or just in that market in general? I mean, what is your expertise seeing in that industry? You don't mind me asking.
I saw that they pretty much allow XRP to be, like, legal, right? So I guess that gives value to the coins. But when XRP started having all those issues, I had got rid of all mine. So I kind of fell out the loop on it because I said, I don't know if I want to mess with that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look into it. And I'm going to come back next week and I'll talk about it. But I did see where they did allow them to pretty much operate, like, you know, as they want to. It's pretty much they won their suit. So we'll see what that means for people who hold those coins.
Much appreciated. Thanks.
Yeah, but, you know, I was watching the day on Jekyll Island. And the whole thing that they did out there on Jekyll Island, and they had the 100th anniversary in 2010, that Jekyll Island, no, 2013, and the Federal Reserve, and they had a big celebration out there on Jekyll Island. And the whole thing that they told about the history, that Rockefeller built his house on a temple of Native Americans that had a sacrificial altar inside. This is what they built this house on, because the tech tools, that was and the bodies that they found was, these were the indigenous people that lived there on that island when they started coming there and building, you know, all of their little special retreat homes and places that they would have their meetings at, all of the moguls. And this is what they showed about Jekyll Island and the whole thing about them having the national system. And then they turn around and finally got it when Taft, I think it was Taft, one of them came in, and then they made it the Federal Reserve. This is all they're doing with this now is trying to get it aligned with the new currency system.
Thank you.
Well, we have went over, and if there's no other questions, we'll be back next week at the same time. Go ahead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bev, you got Friday with Nikki. This is what I'm trying to find out. You got a show Friday with Nikki?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because I got some people that they wanted me to get to come on there to talk with her about, you know, what they're going to talk about. So I was just trying to make
about
sure it's going to be about the shrooms and microdosing, more so about microdosing, because this person is dealing with the medicine, the ayah. And so then the sex magic is, you know, anyway.
Okay. Well, we're going to do more than one show, so we'll get it all in.
Okay, because it's one Friday and then it's one Sunday after the drumming, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks,
love,
everyone.
Nancy.
Okay.
Next week I have
better
a topic.
Love.
Better
okay.
love.
All right. Better
hey,
love.
Hey.
The yield and the fecundation. Oh, yeah. Jabril. To be forgiven. Pay homage to the land. Pay homage to the land. Ethiopians.